Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Giannis Shenaeus. This episode will be previewing the upcoming London Derby for Fulham against QPR at Craven Cottage. Before that, we have a few topics to discuss in the Cottage Talk roundtable. We have much to discuss, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome back my co-host who was away on holiday last week, Mr. Janaeus. How you doing?
I'm great, mate. What a strange week of footy we had. Really, really. We had the ha-has winning at Villa. We had a cat invade the field at the Besiktas Bayern Munich thing, and Besiktas actually got, didn't they get reported, charged, because a cat invaded? I mean, really, do you not have better things to go after? And Chelsea choked against Barcelona, ha ha ha. And we've got a big game tomorrow against the ha-has, and I'm looking forward to that. Should be a good game.
It should be, and I look forward to getting into that with you. Before we go on any further, you weren't here last week for the show. Just thoughts on the victory against Preston North End, Giannis?
Well, the first, it's funny. It was a good game, and I was a little bit ticked with Alex Neil's post-match conference.
So was I. I'm glad that you're bringing it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Sour grapes.
I mean, I feel a bit... I mean, my daughter studies fairly close to there, and she says it rains every day, and, well... You know, poor little buggers. They got to live in Preston. Lambs to the slaughter, no pun intended. But it goes to show that, you know, Preston have been in the top 10 for a good reason. They might be late comers to the party. But Mitrovic has brought a completely new, different dimension into the team. He didn't play well first half. I think we can all accept that. But second half, he's shown up to the party, and even when they equalised, and I thought they probably deserved a point out of it, out of nowhere, beautiful crossing left, boom, heads it down, and it's in the back of it. Fantastic result, and of course it's so dramatic because it's, you know, it's in injury time, and it's capped off. You know, it continues our incredible run, but now that we've finished with the top six, we've got teams who could still give us problems in different ways. So it was a wonderful win, but Slava's done a good job of keeping everything terra firma. So tomorrow will be a different game, and London Derby is always a lot of fun. So I'm anticipating a tough test.
So am I, Giannis. And if you haven't listened yet to my conversation with Phil Spencer from Get West London, please do take a listen. He gives you some insight on QPR. He covers them for Get West London. Please do check that out. I'll probably be mentioning Phil's commentary during this show because he did have some very interesting thoughts on this match and on QPR, and it'd be a good mention when we get to certain parts of this show to talk about what Phil had to share. All right, my friend, let's get into the Cottage Talk Roundtable. There was an interesting story this week that affects me here, so I thought it would be a great way to start off the roundtable. There is speculation that the New England Revolution could be interested in signing Luca Della Torre on loan. What are your thoughts on this?
I think, you know what? It's funny. 3-4 years ago, I said, well, you know, what's really the point? If just to give him some playing time. But the MLS in the last 3 or 4 years, in terms of the quality of the teams, the expansion.
It's going up, Giannis.
Yeah, it has gone up. And usually when you see the inclusion of expansions, and I'm thinking, you know, obviously Minnesota United, Atlanta, Philadelphia Union, et cetera, it waters down the talent. But because it's a fairly new phenomenon here in North America, we've got a lot of European players coming over. And, you know, I just have to, you know, people could talk about, you know, Villa and Lampard and Gerrard and Pirlo, but I just have to point to someone like Sebastian Giovinco, who's done so well over here. And I think for De La Torre to go and play with the Revs in a conference as tough, where every game, there really is no easy game. TFC, MLS Cup champions, first game of the season, lose at home to Columbus, who are moving to Texas next year. So, I mean, on any given day, it's not like Man City in the Premier League. It'll be great experience. The fields are very good over here. The standards are getting higher and higher, and the crowds are good. Facilities are excellent. So I think it'll be great experience. And I think we need to, you know, if you look at the American players that have come to our club, obviously the Dempseys, the Bocanegras, the McBrides, right. There are good players over here. and they found their footing here over here in MLS. So I think it's excellent experience to give him that. And it's probably better for him to go to the Revs than, say, go to a, you know, a Belgium first division team. I think it'll be better grounding, and I think it's a really good move. And we need to see, I'd like to see more partnerships between MLS clubs. I know we've got Man City in New York City,
right?
But more partnerships like that, where you've got feeder clubs. And I'm wondering if Shahid Khan's actually looked at that, where there is a potential there. You've got players playing in MLS going to play for Fulham. I think the potential's certainly there because the market here is growing.
I totally agree, Giannis. And it's funny because I can look at this from both angles here, the New England Revolution angle and also the Fulham angle. And the New England Revolution are my local team, but I can definitely talk about how he would fit into what they're doing. He would step right in, Giannis, in my opinion, and start. They have a need. He would fill a need. They need a playmaker. And that's what he could offer the Revolution. So for me, this is a win-win for Fulham, for Luca De La Torre, and also for the New England Revolution. Everyone wins if it happens. Nothing's happened yet, but there is just this speculation. I think it really benefits all. The pushback I've gotten, Giannis, from Revolution supporters when I've told them about De La Torre is that they want an option to buy. And Giannis, as a Fulham supporter, absolutely not with Luca De La Torre. I would not want Fulham to put any option to buy for him. I see him still as part of their long-term future. So yeah. Thoughts on that? Because, again, I understand why Revs fans would want De La Torre with an option to buy. If you're Fulham, there's no way you do that.
Well, not only that, I don't think they could afford him either. I mean, you've got to think of yeah, you've got the transfer fee. You've also got the wages. You've got the agent fees and all that sort of stuff. And you know, there is a system of have and now have nots in MLS. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but TFC's right up there in terms of the big spenders. But it's still a fairly new league where, yes, there's been, you know, with the franchise tag players and what have you, there are players earning really big bucks. But at the bottom end, it's not actually that big. And so to get a player like De La Torre, and you've got to be able to support it with money, and I don't think MLS is quite there yet. I think this is where MLS maybe misses out a little bit.
Yep.
They need to... The Giovinco thing was an interesting one because they picked up... TFC picked up a player who is not even at his prime yet.
That's right.
And that's why he's been devastating in terms of, you know, whatever he does, he seems to either create chances or he scores goals. You know, Michael Bradley was an interesting signing in terms of assessing where they are in terms of their development at TFC. But then you've got to find the right balance, and you've got to find players that are willing to play over here as well. And the Revs are one of the bigger clubs, but Fulham also are cognizant in terms of, you know, it would be like getting Steven Sessegnon, for example. You know, a few of the youngsters in the under 23s, do you really want to mortgage a future just to sell them when you know that 2-3 years from now, our team may look very, very different than the way it does now? So, De La Torre for me is a part of the future,
right?
The option to loan out there is great. If I'm a Revs fan, I'm saying, okay, great, let's keep him here. It's like the Mitrovic thing, right?
Right, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah,
you know, and just enjoy it.
Let's enjoy it. Yeah, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it, and let's see what comes what may. And
right.
Newcastle fans are upset, but then you know what? He wasn't scoring for them, but he's scoring. He's playing for a Serb coach, and he's obviously loving it.
Yep.
Is it going to work long term? I hope it does. But if De La Torre goes to the Revs, I know he'll help them out.
Absolutely, and, he really will.
It's win-win, really, isn't it? I mean, he gets to develop. He gets to play for them.
It is, and what's very interesting is that the head coach for the New England Revolution now is Brad Friedel, and
yes,
he's instilling this attacking style of football. That's why I feel that De La Torre is a perfect fit, and I think he walks right in and starts for them. That's my opinion, but again, this is just speculation. This was on West London Sport, and it's gotten many people over here excited, you know, especially when they're talking to me, because I've been talking up Luca De La Torre for a very good reason, because I think he has a bright future. And I think it's a for all parties. It's a win-win, and I'm glad that you said this, Giannis. Every single year, MLS gets a little bit better, and right now, I think it's to the point where sending over Luca Della Torre now can help his development, where maybe, say, 3 to 4 years ago, it might not. Now I think it does.
Yes.
So I think it helps Fulham a great deal to send him if that's what they want to do. It's really up to them, and we'll see what happens. But I was excited to see it because I can see the potential for my local team. More importantly, see the potential of the growth of Luca Della Torre playing in MLS, because I think it would raise his game and then come back and use it for Fulham. And that to me is my priority, what's good for Fulham. I just want to make sure people understand that.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, I look at, you know, I mentioned Pirlo and Lampard and Gerrard that came over here, but in a funny sort of way, you know, as great as players as they were over in Europe, I almost felt like it was bastardizing MLS by bringing them in, you know, way past their peak. I mean, Kaká played okay for Orlando, don't get me wrong, but I go back to Jovinko, you know, or even someone like Jose Altidore, who has come over here and have played really, really well. Shouldn't MLS get players, good players from Europe, not ones who are geriatrics? You know, I mean, they want players
absolutely
who are...
Absolutely, honest.
And I think that, I thought, you know, it was all exciting getting these players. And I apologize because I didn't mention David Beckham. But, you know, getting players who are close to their peak. This is where I thought the LA Galaxy, to me, have always been a little bit ahead of the game. Robbie Keane was a classic example of that. You know, he came over here, he was a little bit past his prime, but he still scored goals for fun. And then you've also got to look at loyalty. Look at Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan went to Everton, I thought was a tremendous success. And then decided, you know, in the end, MLS was for him. Now, of course, he's playing in Mexico. But I think it's great when domestic talent can return and you can attract talent from Europe that hasn't necessarily reached their peak, because that raises the skill of players around you too. So De La Torre would be a nice addition if they could get him, but only on loan.
Absolutely.
Boys.
I totally agree, Giannis. And listen, I've been arguing this that if MLS are looking for players, look at the championship, the players that maybe are on their outs, are on the fringe, maybe in under 23s, like the situation with De La Torre. You now have Giannis, Johnny Russell playing for Sporting KC from Derby County. You have Joe Mason playing for the Colorado Rapids now that we were linked to this summer from Wolves. So you're starting to see that more and more. And I think part of that is what you're talking about. MLS's game has been raised to the point where these players can now come over here. And the level of play is much higher now. And so I'll leave it here that I think it's a win-win for everyone. And I actually hope it happens. I'd love to see Luca Della Torre come over here, do well, and then go back to Fulham and be an even better player, because I think it could help his development. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's now talk about some situations going on with the squad, positional-wise, because I think we have some very interesting decisions that Savisa now has, because we have some depth. And this was actually brought to my attention, this first one from Chris Davidson from Fulham Fan Zone, which is a Facebook group. And, you know, he just brought this to my attention. I thought this would be a good topic for you and me, and then I'll add another one after that. He was mentioning Cyrus Christie at right back as an option compared to, say, Ryan Fredericks. Does Slavisa now have a decision to make from match to match at times to play Cyrus Christie? So I want to ask you, I know we've only seen him start one match and we've only seen him in a brief spell with Fulham, but I've liked what I've seen from Cyrus Christie. Does Slavisa now have options? Even how well Ryan Fredericks has played, he now has this other player that if he wants to change things up, he can play him. What are your thoughts about having these two options?
I think it's brilliant. I mean, the reaction of Middlesbrough fans to Cyrus Christie being sold said the story. I'm not really sure what this was thinking there, even though that, you know, obviously in the peripheral, you know, they're right there in the playoff picture. He has shown in the game against Bristol City, I'm going to mention it again, that brilliant setup for Mitro. And he's attacking option, and actually, he's probably going to piss some fans off, but so be it. I would depending on who you start on the right-hand side tomorrow against the Ha-Has, and you're looking first change of the bench. I mean, I've been disappointed that Neskins Cabana hasn't had the option of any playing time recently, although the good news is he's just been called up on international duty. But if you've, unless you've got Cabana in the 18 as a first choice, if you decide you're going to go Shea Yeojo, and I'm still not sure about him, I would bring Christie off the bench before Aite. Really, honest. I like his pace. I like his skill. I like his directness. He doesn't faff with the ball. He's a good passer of a ball, and he's a good reader of the game. You know, I've been vocal about Aite. You know that. I'm not convinced. I still think it's a void on that right. It's one of the very few areas where I just really not sure. I of the three, I'd say Cabana's the best of the three, but he can't make the 18. I hope he does tomorrow. But if you don't have Cabana in there, I'd just say, why don't you just give... Here's a thought. Here's a bit of a laugh, just so we can have a joke. Why don't you start Christie as a right winger tomorrow and see what he can do? Because he's clearly... You've got absolute pace to burn. You've got Bidwell on that left-hand side for the Ha-Has. Can you imagine the mayhem that could be caused if you've got Fredericks and Christie?
Well, I think that's an option, Giannis, and that's why
I really
we're
do,
talking
yeah.
about these two players, that you could play them together. And I'm definitely not against that. But when we talk about the two of them at right back, do you think it's fair to talk about Christie as an option compared to Fredericks, even though he's played so well? Would you consider a certain opponent to play Christie in front of Fred right back?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and part of that is my bias, because I think Fredericks has just been sensational. Right now, he's my favourite Fulham player. I think he's just, and if we've had some heroes, we know that this season, especially this run. But Fredericks is a lot of fun to watch, and he gives you everything he's got. And if you've got those two flying down those wings like gazelles, it's scary, because Fredericks' speed and the way that Christie reads the game would actually give him more license to move forward, knowing that Christie's going to cover. And I think that's... I'm not sure if Slava's thought of that.
Okay.
Aite's defensive capabilities actually aren't bad. I just don't like his execution.
Sure.
Shot ratio. Some of his decisions are a little odd. Ojo, I will give him a little bit of license, a little bit of leeway because he's a bit younger. Cabana, I do like. But he's clearly not flavour of the month. And if he's not flavour of the month, then you do with what you deem to be good enough. And so I think they're interchangeable parts. I mean, the other way is you put Christie, slot him at right back and put Fredericks on the right. Okay. Because no left back's going to fancy coming up against him.
Okay.
Hey, let's not forget.
You're not against playing Christie at right back, even in front of Fredericks.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, Fredericks scored against QPR early in the season at Loftus Road. A bit fortuitous, of course. But you know what? You shoot on that, and you see what happens. It takes a deflection. It's in the back of the net. So if I'm Ian Holloway, I'm looking and thinking, I hope to God they don't do that. We're done for if they do. If they attack us down that left with those two horses, I might as well stick Jeremy and Donald Pony on the left, because we ain't getting anything off that lot.
Sure.
I'd love to have both of them in the lineup right now.
It's something we've talked about before, so I'm glad that it kind of morphed into talking about playing them together, because I wouldn't be against seeing that at some point, Giannis. Very good. All right, another two players I want to talk about, which actually is a good talking point for this upcoming match. Savisa made it known in his presser that Tomas Kalas is now working back with the team in training. He will be assessed ahead of this match with QPR. But let's just talk about this, because I know how you feel about Dennis Odoi. And I want to get your thoughts between these two players. If you had to choose, who would you be choosing if you were Savisa between Dennis Odoi and Tomas Kalas? Does Tomas Kalas come right back in because he's a starter? Or do you stick with Dennis Odoi? So let's just say when Kalas is fit, back to ready to go, do you go right back to Kalas? Or do you stick with a guy who's been playing and playing very well at that position?
Well, I think Slava's presser, and he talked about Kalas, would intimate to me that he won't play tomorrow. That he's back in training, but you're more likely. I think we've got Norwich next week, so that's more likely to be the next potential game. So it'll be Odoi and Ream tomorrow. I would say I would put, I'd say Adoy, because I prefer Adoy, although some would argue, does Ream play better with Kalas than with Adoy?
Right.
It wasn't Ream's greatest game last week, but Adoy was magnificent.
He was.
So I've always been
a... Chemistry is important, Yanis. It's a good point.
Do you go with the player with the reputation, or do you go with a player on form? And I think if you're playing well, it's tough to lose. I mean, Adoy has been unlucky. We know that. He was left back. He did a good job. Then he covered when Kalas got sent off early in the season. Did a very good job. They brought Matt Target in, and no disrespect to Adoy, he's an upgrade. But you do want to. He's a sort of player that you want to find. You want to get him in the lineup if you possibly can. So Kalas getting injured is convenient for us because Adoy can slot in. He's not put a foot wrong. So for me, I'd keep Adoy in there and playing with Ream. And you know what? If something goes wrong at the back, then Kalas is a good option to bring on. But you've got to play your strongest 11. And for me, the strongest 11 in the back four, if you play, depending on who you play, at the moment would be Fredericks, Target, Ream and Adoy, unless, of course, you decide you want Christie as a matchup at right back.
Right.
Where you can do a bit of switcheroony. But to answer your question, the way Adoy's been playing, I think it's a no-brainer for me. He starts over Kalas.
Okay, very good. As we transition and talk about QPR, and I get your opening thoughts, because we're talking about these two center backs, concern for me in this match is going to be Matt Smith. You and I were talking about it off air. He's actually become a pretty big focal point for QPR. The fact that you have Dennis Adoy, who's not the tallest, and obviously Tim Ream isn't either, is this a concern for you against someone like Matt Smith?
No, because Adoy is better in the air. He's not the biggest, but he's good in the air. And the problem that the Ha-Ha's are going to have tomorrow is that we know the style they're going to try and play. But if we get the ball on the deck, we're going to outrun their midfield. And
true. I agree with that.
The way that we play, you're really not going to look at results in the first half. You're going to look at results, creating results and opening up space, lots of space in the last 15, 20 minutes. And so QPR can defend us for as long as they like, but they're going to have their own problems. I mean, who picks up Mitro? Anua?
I have no idea.
That's right there.
Him. That's a great point, Yanis.
I mean, they're gonna have
their hands full with him.
They're gonna have their hands full. I mean, you're gonna have Anua and Lynch there, and then you're going, oh god, and then you got Sessegnon playing on the left with Furlong. Well, I know who's gonna win that one. So you've got the thing about our speed. I mean, they've got a youngish team at the moment. But we've got a lot of pace, and our midfield's playing very, very well. And so, and we've got options to come off the bench too. So, Holloway says he has a game plan.
He does.
But the problem is going to be, it's going to be really incumbent on our central midfield to have an off day. So, you know, Kearney, Steph Joe and Kevin Mack. And it's rare that that happens. And you know that if something goes wrong, Oliver Norwood can always come in and slot in and fill in some space. So it's not going to be an easy game for them. It's not going to be an easy game for us. But I'd be more worried, how do you stop Mitro? Because he's now proved that he's adept at scoring late goals. And he's got a flair for the dramatics. So he's going to wear down defenders. And he's going to keep moving. And if his first touch wasn't great last Saturday, first half, but it really improved second half. And, you know, he showed his mettle by getting two goals. And we've got lots and lots of options. Sessegnon hasn't scored in three, so he's due. So, you know, whoever plays on the right, you've got a lot of attacking options. Matt Target has been lights out. QPR have got, they're going to have their hands full. Matt Smith is going to give us a problem.
Yep.
But not compared to the problems that we're going to give them.
That's a great point. Here I am worried about Matt Smith, and based on what I've watched, Yanis, and obviously talking to Phil, but it's very easy to then just flip and think, well, how are they going to handle Alexander Mitrovic? And I just don't know how they're going to be able to handle that guy.
Yeah, they're gonna need it because he's not the biggest
maker, Giannis. Because what's interesting about my conversation with Phil, and then we'll get further into previewing this match, he was talking about suffocating Fulham like they did in prior matches and what they did against Aston Villa. That's going to be the style of play, to try to suffocate us. But now we have that option with Mitrovic. Does that just change that idea that they can have the ability to do that because we always have Mitrovic?
Yeah, but you know, part of what helps them is that when both grounds are pretty small.
Right.
But we're playing so well at home right now. We're using every blade of grass. And it's going to be a bumper crowd tomorrow. It should be a fantastic atmosphere. QPR are going to bring, you know, they're going to bring their little legion of fans. And it's going to be a great atmosphere, and we've been playing so well. And if we score early, it could get ugly. But you know, we can't underestimate them because was it a one-off up at Villa Park? I think it's brilliant coaching by Holloway. Yep. Honestly, I think it's terrible coaching by Steve Bruce. I think it's a terrible approach to the game by Steve Bruce. You know, they've beaten Wolves, they've had their cup final, and then, you know, flat as a pancake. But I just think we've got too much. I just too much form. And the beauty of the way we've been playing is we move the ball very, very quickly. Preston are going back to Preston. I thought played well last week. I thought, especially first half, and they scurried around. They've got some good players of quality, and I don't mean this as a racial, indication by any means, but one thing I do like about Preston, they've got several Irish players. And I think, you know, the Irish produce, you know, athletes who are very, very hardworking. They don't slack on the job. Preston have several of those, and they showed us in the first half last week why they're so valued. And there are players on that Preston team that actually go home and play in Ireland in the summer, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And so, you know, they looked to outwork you, and they did first half. I don't think we've got any complaints. Second half, it was the quality that took over.
Right.
It's almost like having some, I'm not in the same vein, but it's having several Roy Keanes running around. And we all knew the value of Roy Keane when he played for Man United and Republic of Ireland. So you've got that. And so that's as tough a test as we probably had physically in the six games we had. Bristol City were just dirty. That's any mug can do that. But Preston were physical.
They were.
But they worked hard and played some good footy too. Alex, I wasn't sure about Alex Neil's thing. I think it was the disappointment of the interview after a game that they really felt they should have got a point. And I wouldn't have begrudged them the point because I thought they played well enough to get it. But when you've got someone like Mitra, anything's possible. So, again, as I said earlier, I think it's just a different situation for QPR. They're coming in playing a team that's really buoyant. One swallow doesn't make a summer. They had a great win up at Villa Park, but this is going to be a different game altogether.
Okay, my friend. All right, well, let's get into this. I'm going to start us off by sharing some quotes from Ian Holloway, manager for QPR. This is what he had to say, because I find it interesting, because he does talk a little bit about the Aston Villa victory and what he thinks about Fulham. He actually has some very nice things to say about Slavisa, but I want to get your thoughts, what you take away from his quotes. This is actually on the Fulham website from the article Opposition Camp. Again, here's the quote. Quote, the way they pass the ball and the way they move it, I think their manager is excellent. It's a local derby and we want to beat them. Everything is against us. I've got a bit of a plan. Whether it will work or not, we'll have to see, because they're probably the best passing team in the division. They move it through that midfield. Also with Sessegnon up there, he's on 14 goals, and now they are playing him up front and not at fullback. I think Mitrovic has made a big difference for them because they can also go to him and it sticks. Well done to their manager, but we're going to try to disrupt what they do like we did to Villa. the other day and see if we can spoil the party. We have to get the ball off them first because they do pass it for fun, and well done, because I do believe that is the way to go. If you look at the world of football, that is what I want to try and do. We're getting towards it. The group is working their socks off. I think their manager is fantastic. What he did at previous club was overlooked, and Fulham are lucky to have him. He deserves to have this run. He deserves to play the way they do, because the way they play is very, very good. It's the modern way. It's tough and difficult to get the ball off them. Their defenders are attack-minded, and it makes everything tough. But I know what it's about. It's about us going there and beating them. I'm just a big fan of Mr. Jokanović, and I think he plays football the right way. I hope it's a really good game, and I hope we can do ourselves proud and show how good we can be. Those are comments from Ian Holloway, QPR manager. Giannis, what are your thoughts? What do you take away from what he shared prior to this match?
Well, I've always been a fan of Holloway because I don't think the game has enough characters. I think that, you know, we find that most managers tend to be plastic. You know, it's the same metaphors. We see it over here, Russ, as you know, yep, with all the sports we watch. The same metaphors, the same cliches, the same phrases. Holloway says it the way it is. You know, I actually find him rather entertaining and funny. If his team's not playing well, he'll let you know, and he'll give him a good bollocking. And so when you look at, I'm just trying to think of coaches that I would put in the same vein. Certainly a Roy Keane, I find it absolutely hilarious because he calls it the way it is. I do like Jurgen Klopp. Again, as honest as the day is long, and you need that transparency. It's clear that Holloway loves the way that we play, and yep. I've always had a lot of time for him. He knows it's going to be a very, very difficult game. I think it's going to be. He's honest enough to say that they've got a plan. He's going to try and approach it the same way as Villa, but I think that the difference between us and Villa is that we're a better passing team and we move the ball quicker in possession. And I think with players like, I'm going to use Nedumanua, if it's in the air, he's very, very tough and he's a good tackler. But the problem for them is going to be the combinations and the use of the target man in Mitro.
That's
going to be a problem. Yeah, that's going to be a problem for them. But Holloway, it's interesting now, they're 15th. But they have been playing well for a little while now. He's got a good crop of youngsters coming through, and he's got no choice because financially they're in a lot of doo doo. But he's done a serviceable job with them, and it should be an entertaining game. I just it's great to hear a coach. You know, Alex Neil could learn from this as an example. Yes. About we played against a very good side that yep. knocks about beautifully, and Holloway is man enough to admit that the way we play is very good, and actually a rarity, which is hearing a coach full of praise for an opposing coach, which I think is fabulous. Slava will like that, but he will keep his troops on the ground because he'll tell them, look, it's only another game. It's another game. They're going to want to knock us off our perch. We've beaten them already this year at Loftus Road. They won't want the double done on them. They'll come in, they'll feel buoyed after their win up at Villa. We've got to be careful. We've got to be ready. This isn't going to be a party. So I think magnanimous and honest comments. He knows the magnitude of the task facing him. But I think QPR could be a stiffer test for us than even he thinks. But I do think it's going to add up to what should be a really good game.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. And I'm glad that you mentioned the combination with the passing and the focal point being Mitrovic. I think it's the combination of the two, passing and Mitrovic, that makes it different than, say, against Aston Villa, which will make it more difficult than playing against Aston Villa. I understand why he's looking at Villa and looking at Fulham, but I think that we're just a little different. We have that missing piece now that is now part of what we're doing now. That just makes it a little bit different. We don't have a missing piece anymore. It's now been solidified with Mitrovic. I think he just brings it all together.
For sure.
So, that's what I think is the difference now compared to maybe when we played prior. We now have Mitrovic, and now it can all work together in unison. All right, my friend. Which QPR players concern you most in this match? I've already mentioned Matt Smith. Believe it or not, he really does concern me. He does. He scored, I believe, 8 goals, but it's what else he can do. He heads everything in sight. They lob it up to him as much as possible, Giannis. He's very good defending set pieces, so he's good defensively and obviously on set pieces for them trying to score goals. And, you know, he'll knock it down for his teammates, so he gets his teammates involved. I'm focused on him and then, of course, very much focused on Luke Freeman, who I thought was excellent against Fulham. Who are the players that concern you?
I'd say Freeman is going to be the big danger, providing he keeps his head. I know that he's a yellow card away from a two-match ban, and that was one of the reasons that Holloway chose not to play him up at Villa Park on Tuesday. He came on late, set up the third goal, but I'm pretty certain he's going to play tomorrow, especially because you've got the international break coming up. And don't get me started about the international break. That gets me fucked up as well. And by the way, how has James Tarkowski made the England lineup and Sessegnon or not? Please don't even just utter. I have to just off the cuff, nothing to not relate to Fulham, but I've never seen a more boring looking England squad in my life. Who needs tablets for insomniacs when you could look at that list? It's like having 22 James Milners in there, honestly. I think the problem now is going to be with Freeman. He tends to be a little bit of a catalyst, but he is a bit of a hothead. And let's see if he gets himself in some trouble. He's a good little player, and he did cause us problems down at Loftus Road. But to be fair, this is a very, very different Fulham team they're playing from then. And, you know, we tend to forget that the game that really started it off was the game at Cardiff. And since that time, just the way we defend in numbers, attacking-wise, you know, we changed our keeper. Betts, you know, I've said it before, sometimes it's not the saves you make, but when you make the saves, Betts, you know, gave up a howler against Preston. And he's entitled to that. He's played well. He's been brilliant, but he's made some crucial saves against Preston again, and that's why he's our number one keeper. There's another big reason we've improved so much. So the ha-has can look at the way we've been playing, but to be fair, it's not the same Fulham team as they saw down at Loftus Road earlier this year. So
I totally agree, Giannis.
They're going to have a lot on their hands, and they're gonna have to. It's going to be a game of patience. I just think we've got too much. I think Mitrovic has just scared the bejeevers out of defenders. The only problem, unfortunately, and you know we've talked about this, is that there's always an opportunity cost because it means that players can't play. You know, Bubu hasn't been playing. Right. Bont hasn't been playing. Cabano hasn't been in the 18. You know, and that's a shame. And so. But then, are we going to complain because Mitro is doing the business? The answer is, of course, no. So it's a different looking lineup, and certainly the performances have been so much better anyway. So right. I mean, we're in good shape now, and unfortunately for the Ha-Has, they can have a plan of action. They will need a big dollop of luck to beat us. I'm actually, while I'm talking to you here, I'm trying to look back now to when we played them earlier in the season, and to see just in terms of the lineup we had against them, and how that looked, because I'm curious as to the lineup we did have out against them. So okay. If you bear with me a minute, young man. Oh, here it is. I found it. Here we go.
Go ahead.
So let's have a look at the lineup. So this was back in, so we have not seen since September.
Right.
But the lineup we had out that, so we had Button, and the back four was Fredericks, Callas, Ream, and Sessegnon. So, of course, right there you can see who's not there. Then you had Norwood, McDonald, and Johansson. So, of course, Kearney's not there. And up front, now this is interesting. This is very interesting. Up front, Ojo, Font, and Mollo.
I remember that.
So, and on the bench, it was Jarlow and Cisse. and Graham and Margot. And all, you know, so so it's interesting how the work looking at theirs. Freeman played in that one.
Yep.
But it's a very different looking lineup now. And I think that they're gonna see that. It's gonna be a tough game for them. Who cares? As long as we get the 3 points and move on, that's all I'm happy about.
Absolutely. And listen, I think this is going to be a tough match, but I understand why QPR, the players and the fans would be confident coming into this because of the last result and how they've been playing lately. I definitely understand that they should. But I just think that when they're playing against Fulham in this match, I think they're going to see something that they didn't see the last time we played. And I just think that we're a very different team. And you highlighted that just a couple minutes ago, my friend, because it really is a different team from that point on. And we'll see, you know, we'll see. You know, like I said, he'll have a game plan. We'll see if they can execute that game plan. I'm confident in Fulham as well, but I understand why from their perspective, they're going in there with confidence. I want them to. I definitely want them to. I want them to play confident because I know Fulham well. All right. Giannis, let's go into this. Who are your key players for Fulham against QPR?
One player I can think of begins with and ends in Itrovic. So Mitro is going to be key, I think. Kearney's now really beginning to round into form. So Kearney can boss the midfield. McDonald's.
What about defensively?
Well, I mean, Ream had a bit of an off game last week, as I said earlier, but Adoy's playing magnificently. Target and Fredericks have been sensational. And Bettinelli's not having to see too much of the ball, which is great. We're attacking. It's great. We create chances. We're going to be at home. We've been playing lights out at home. The fans are going to be on us, you know, with the clappers. And I'm sick to death of all these fans that moan about the fact we've got clappers. You know, I just say it's better to have clappers than have the clap, right? There you go. that's my joke. By the way, Ross, I just had a phone call from a guy called Fotheringham. He said he played in a World Cup final once a child. Should I take him on or what?
Oh, boy, not sure yes, about that's, him. That's too funny.
I was watching a documentary for all the Fulham fans out there called, I think it was called Red Mist on YouTube last night. And I would recommend you watch it because it actually, the Mick McCarthy link, it was about the 2002 World Cup. Republic of Ireland went over and Mick McCarthy sent Roy Keane home after their bust up in the change room. It was very, very, it's about an hour long, okay. But it's very, very good. It was run by Irish TV. And it is interesting, you know, in terms of the chemistry of the team, even at international level, and the impact that can have. Roy Keane was and still is a bit of a loose cannon. Mick McCarthy was a very, very good centre-back for Republic of Ireland. He was captain, not Irish by birth, but a Yorkshireman. And just a different documentary about how team spirit and team chemistry can work wonders. In 1988, Republic of Ireland knocked England over 1-0. And I'll never forget that game. You know, on paper, we should have absolutely destroyed them, and they beat us. So going back to Fulham, what Slav has created here, it's a team culture where everybody drinks the Kool-Aid. Everybody buys into the system. Everybody understands their role. And that role doesn't always mean that you're going to start. It may mean that sometimes you're going to have to play for the under-23s. But knowing that if something goes wrong, you need, and you've got to be called up, that you can come in and slot in. And that's a mark of a really, really good squad. And our bench, if you look at our bench, Russ, right now, you know, there are players that will come off the bench who can do a really good job for us in, you know, if we get, yeah, very, very strong. And I've always thought that the secret of every very strong team isn't just the strength in breadth. It's always going to be the strength in breadth. That's why Man City are as good as they are. That's why Wolves in this division have been as good as they are. The depth is excellent. And our depth is very good right now. And I think that's going to help us for the rest of the season.
I totally agree. And that was also one of the reasons why we talked about the options that Savisa has in the Cottage Talk Roundtable, because I think that is also part of all this, to have these options, to have this competition at positions because it just makes you a better side. And you are highlighting that, my friend. All right. Let's now get right down to how to form BQPR at Craven Cottage on Saturday.
Play their game. Simple, ridiculous, but play their game. I think that's about the only thing you could do. I mean, it's the form that has taken us 15 games unbeaten. We've been on in an incredible run at home. We've been scoring goals for fun. Defensively, we've become very, very strong. And I just, for me, it's a no-brainer. I think we play our way and not worry about what they do. That's what good teams do, Russ. That's what they do. But I would like to think that we can be. I think we're going to be okay. So I think we've got to play our way, just not worry about what they're going to try and do, and try not to get impatient. You know that it's going to be. You know that they're going to try and come at us, and Ian Holloway teams aren't dirty. I mean, Luke Freeman's a little bit of a loose cannon, but the good thing about him is that he will always admit that to you. But I think they've got enough in the tank, enough options off the bench. If we're playing to the best of our ability, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be beaten by a couple of goals. I fancy a 2-0 a 2-0 win.
Okay, well, you already jumped ahead, my friend. All right.
No!
Give me your starting 11, though.
I play Lonergan in net. Jazz Richards at right back. I'll put Stearman and...
Not your worst starting 11. Give me your starting 11.
Dan Burn in the middle and Ream at the left. And I'd like Ahar in there and Garbutt and McCormack and Kaczyniklic in there. Starting lineup. Okay. So bets, obviously. All bets off on this one. Buttons undone. Bets are off. Fredericks and Target and Ream and Adoy. Midfield, Steph, Joe, K-Mac, Kearney. Up front for this game, I would put Sess on the left, Christie on the right.
Oh, okay.
Mitra in the middle.
Oh, interesting.
So I wouldn't, and I'll quantify that. Christie needs to play, and you can't drop Fredericks just so Christie can play. Fredericks has been fantastic.
Okay.
So not one, and it comes to also in terms of a matter of trust. I don't trust Aiete as a player. I just don't. To me, he's too inconsistent. That's why I laughed my head off when we got rid of Aluko. I certainly didn't cry about it. I thought, oh, thank God for that. And now talk to any Reading fan about what they think about Shane Aluko. You know, we could probably buy him for a gherkin and a pickled egg, and they'd take it. Ojo, I'd like to see more consistency. Better player of the bench. If Cabana could start, that would probably be my first option, but I find it impossible to believe he's suddenly going to bring him out of the cold.
Right.
So with the players that you got there, I'd say give QPR something different to look at.
Well, you could go
interchangeable parts. Yes, that really would be different. And the interchangeable parts, Fredericks can always slot up front, Chris up to the back. I like that. I think it's a good time to see what we can do with it.
I like your idea, Yannis, because it's something we've talked about. And we started the show talking about Christie or Fredericks, and you took it to a different level, and you said, no, Christie and Fredericks. And I kind of like
Christie
that. You know, I actually really do like that, my friend. All right, Yannis, let's now go to my prediction, and I am going to predict you went 2-0. I'm going 3-1 to Fulham because that's my typical prediction. So I'm going to go 3-1. I'm not changing anything there, my friend. I'm going to go 3-1. All right. Before we go, I definitely want to share the poll I did on the Cottage Talk Twitter page. I had 156 votes. Win was at 86%, Yannis. Draw was at 8%, and loss was at 6%. That's out of 156 votes. So that's a decent sample size. So win is highly in favor there, and only loss was at 6%. That's very good there. All right, my friend. Great show. It's great having you back, my friend.
It is an absolute doozy, I have to say. Had a good time in the Dominican. I have to tell you, when Mitra scored, I was lying on the beach, and I almost gave the missus a heart attack. I was yelling, Mitra! Absolutely fantastic.
That's great.
And it's been the thing of it's been the thing of fairy tales. But you know, I'm not gonna. We laugh about the ha-has and the Brent fodders and what have you. But just because the ha-has are 15th doesn't mean it's not going to be an easy game. We have to learn from what happened to Villa, and I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think it with the really tough games coming up for the teams above us. It's really important we make hay now, because I still feel that somebody's going to slip. Okay. I'm still not convinced that Cardiff are good enough. I think we're hoping the fodder would turn them over. They did take the lead on Tuesday. But I still think that Cardiff have four of the next, including Tuesday night, four of the next five games away from Wales. So I'm just hoping that they slip. We're not far behind them. And you know, we've got to keep winning and hope they drop points. I mean, the first thing could be we could climb into third tomorrow, which would be fantastic. Yep. And but we take it one game at a time. I think it's gonna be a good game tomorrow, but I don't see any reason why we can't win.
Okay, I'm there with you, Giannis. I think Fulham can and should win tomorrow, but I do respect QPR. I respect Holloway. I'm glad we're talking about him, because I watched an interview with him. I learned a little bit more about him, and he's a good guy. And you can think about what you want about some of these managers, but when you learn a little bit about them, and Holloway's one of them, he seems like he's a very good guy.
Yes, he is.
So I just want to mention that. Also want to mention one last time before we go, if you haven't listened yet, please do check out my interview that I did on Thursday with Phil Spencer from Get West London. I think you'll find it informative, insightful about QPR. If you want to know a little bit more about him, it's about a 35-minute interview, and I think you'll get something out of it. I know I certainly did, so please do check that out. And Giannis and I will be back to do our post-match show.
Yay! Hopefully
sooner than later, but we'll see when we do record that. But we will be back to do the post-match show of Fulham versus QPR. All right, my friend. It is time to go, though. For Giannis and AS, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.